Well, good evening, everyone. Let me add my welcome tonight. It's so nice to be with you. Let me pray as I open God's word tonight. Gracious Father, we thank you for this beautiful night where we remember and where we celebrate and where we mark the beginning of something new. Thank you for the way we've been able to reflect on that, both with scripture and prose tonight so far, and we will continue to do. And we pray that as I share these few reflections, that you'd open our hearts to who you are and who you call us to be. We pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, it's good to be together tonight. And thanks for being with us. And if you're visiting tonight, a special warm welcome to you. I don't know about you, but I love Christmas, which is probably a bit unusual for someone at my stage of life. I loved all the magic of Christmas as a kid, but I love it now. And, you know, Christmas isn't a walk in the park for me. This is my seventh of eight Christmas services. I've been a pastor for about 25 years now, so I balance the stuff that goes on at home and the stuff that happens at the church. And my wife's a pastor running another midnight service at another place tonight. So, you know, Christmas is complicated, but I still love it. I'm hosting 12 people for lunch tomorrow. I'm doing all the stuff you do. It's pretty intense. But strangely, I still love it. And I remember little things from my childhood that I loved about it. But I love it now. In fact, I remember I was thinking about how my mum had a Christmas record with, you know, Christmas songs by people like Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra, and you'd open it up and have like a pop-up inside, you know. And it's probably a bit controversial in this context, but I'm just going to say it anyway because I've been here long enough. I even like Santa. You know, because he was a real person of history. A guy named Nicholas of Myra, in a place which is Turkey today. He was a follower of Jesus, a pastor, a bishop. He's the patron saint of my dad's hometown. He loved Jesus. He loved God's church. And he loved justice. So much so, the story goes, that when he heard about a man with three unmarried daughters who were unlikely to get married, because the father was poor and couldn't offer a dowry to any prospective husband, that he tossed a bag of gold coins through their open window while the household was asleep. And he repeated this three times over three nights so that, you know, they would have some money to get married. And allegedly, as the story goes, the coins landed in the stockings that were hanging by the fire drying. And he later became known for his secret gift-giving for other worthy and just causes. And Nick was also an attendee at the famous Council of Nicaea, from which we get our great creed. And yes, you'll tell me that he's been secularized and commercialized, but for me, he's a character of history who definitively pointed people to Jesus. And I can get behind a guy like that. But Christmas is about more than nostalgia. If it's just about nostalgia, we grow out of it. Christmas, or more specifically, the birth of Jesus, is the day that changed history forever. The day that Jesus was born into this world to save people from sin, Matthew tells us, and to be for us Emmanuel, that word that means God with us. We sang that earlier. What does all that mean? Well, sin in the ancient world derived its name from an archery term. It referred to missing the mark. And all of us do that from time to time. We do it in small ways, and sometimes we do it in big ways. And when we do, especially when it's a big thing, we either live with a lot of guilt about it, or we try to rationalize it away, or we try to cover it up, or somehow we try to fix it. The people of Jesus' day, they had all kinds of elaborate rituals to make amends for these things. But ultimately, it was all symbolic. None of it could actually take any of it away. And Matthew tells us that this baby, this Jesus, he can do what we in our strength and with all our rituals can't do. He can take away sin and restore us into right and close relationship with God. Furthermore, Matthew tells us that Jesus comes to be our Emmanuel, our God with us. This means that he comes down into the muck and the mess of human life. He gets in there and he stays. And he says, let me be with you and let me help you navigate your life into freedom and the many, many good things that I have for you. How does he do those things? Well, to answer that question, we need to turn to that other reading. The Apostle Paul writing to the Colossians, that beautiful reading about the supremacy of Christ. He tells us three things about Jesus and his work. He tells us that Jesus is supreme, that Jesus is sufficient, and that Jesus sustains. Three S's: supreme, sufficient, sustains. Let's look at them really briefly tonight. In effect, as he talks about Jesus being supreme, Paul gives us Jesus' credentials, like his LinkedIn profile. He says, Jesus is the image, the perfect representation of God. He was there at the beginning with God in creation, and in him, everything that's in heaven and on earth, all the things we see, all the things we can't see, he was there. They were created in him and through him. He's in charge of the church. He leads the church. And so it goes on. He establishes that Jesus, by his identity and purpose, actually has the power to do the things that Matthew says that he will do. Forgive sin. Effectively make us right with God and with one another. Something that we couldn't do on our own. He sits above every power and principality on earth and in heaven. What's impossible for us is entirely possible for Jesus. He is supreme and therefore worthy of our allegiance, worthy of our worship. Secondly, he's sufficient, which is another way of saying he's enough. Typically, when we encounter Jesus for the first time, there's a part of our brain that thinks, what will this cost me? What will Jesus ask me to leave behind? Am I really okay with leaving those things behind? Maybe we're comfortable with seeing Jesus as supreme, but struggle to see him as sufficient. But I can tell you from experience that Jesus never asks you to leave anything behind that isn't either bad for us or a hindrance to better things that he has for us. So we can't just put our trust in Jesus plus this stuff or plus that thing or plus these things. Verse 20 says, through him God reconciled to himself all things. All things. Jesus can hold the whole world together, which means he can hold us wholly together. He's enough. If we've committed our lives to him, if we see him as supreme, we're re-invited this Christmas to also entrust ourselves to him for everything we need. Seeing him is enough, and ultimately that all good things come from him. He's supreme, he's sufficient, and he sustains. The point we see in both Matthew and Paul tonight is that Jesus is in it for the long game. He stays. In fact, what I love about Matthew's gospel is that it opens with his declaration that he would be Emmanuel, God with us, and it ends with the promise that he'll be with us always until the end of the age. Unlike Saint Nick, who makes an appearance once a year, Jesus is present every day, at every hour, at every moment of our lives. He lives with his people by his Spirit, who enables us to know him intimately, to experience his presence in prayer and community, and even to exercise gifts and power like his. So, friends, I love Christmas because I get to celebrate the reality that I experience every day, but I get to celebrate it in a special way. The reality that we have a God who comes down into the muck of life with us, stays, and has the power and authority to bring healing and reconciliation to all the bad stuff and restore us to relationship with God the Father and to one another. I think I love Christmas because from the youngest age, I knew about trees and tinsel and Santa and yummy food, but I knew it was Jesus' birthday as well. It was always part of the picture so that I could never outgrow that. And so I look at all the traditions And for me, I just see them pointing to Jesus. So what about you? Do you love Christmas? Christmas is great, but it has to be about more than nostalgia. Otherwise, we grow out of it. Whether you've been following Jesus for a long time or a short time, or maybe you just came along with someone tonight and you're not someone who follows Jesus, which is amazing, it's great. I want to invite you to see this humble birth in a Bethlehem stable as an absolute cosmic game changer, a revolution. The one who came helpless and powerless, seemingly, is actually the most powerful, is the one who is supreme, worthy of all the glory, sufficient for all our needs, and sustaining, going before us and going with us. And the way that we tap into all of that is simply saying our yes to him. Yes, Jesus, I want this life with you. Some of us who've been journeying with him for a long time might need to say it afresh tonight, might just need to say yes. And maybe there's people who want to say it for the first time. And when we do, we just tend to say, sorry, thank you, please. Sorry that we've lived just for ourselves. Thank you that you've made it possible that we can know you and love you and be in relationship with the Father. Please come and fill my life. Be with me by your Spirit. And there'll be people here who are just not there yet. Or you've identified as a Christian, but you've never really experienced this yet. And that's okay. But what I want to encourage you to do this Christmas, as we sing songs about Jesus coming into the world, as we sing songs about who he is and why he's deserving of the glory, that he brings peace to the earth. Lean in. Read a bit of the Bible. Talk to a Christian friend. Pray that God would give you a fresh revelation of his peace, his power, and his presence. So I want to pray for us that we might be able to do that. Gracious God, we thank you tonight that we celebrate your birth. But we celebrate not only your birth, not only a nostalgic moment when a baby was born, but we thank you that the King arrived, the one who was supreme, the one who could do all the things that the prophets of old said he could do. I thank you that in all of it, you are sufficient for all our needs, that we don't need to look in other places, but as we look to you, we see more than we could ask or imagine. And I thank you that you sustain us, that you don't just give us what we need and leave us alone, but you come and be part of this life with us. Thank you that you do that, Lord. And we pray that anyone who needs to step into that, lean into that today, I pray that you'd give them the courage and the capacity to do so. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.